Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Let's try that again. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now, please be seated. I'm often amazed the way that that God speaks to us or meets us or answers our questions in some of the most unexpected circumstances. As some of you know, last month I went to London for the first time for many years to visit my home city, the city of my birth. And when I went there, I had a particular theological question that I was really wrestling with and was really on my mind. And as I sat on the plane, I thought, I wonder whether God will speak to me or give me some insight into this question when I'm in England. And so the question is this. Is the notion of new life, and indeed the whole notion of the resurrection, is it about life after death, or is it about new life, a new possibility on this side of the grave during this life? And the reason I was thinking about this question was at the beginning of Lent, we were looking at a series of videos by a pretty well-known theologian called Marcus Borg. And in one of his first videos, he said that he didn't think that Jesus, in his teaching, was really very interested in eternal life after the grave. And his real focus was on life and new life on this side of death, on this side of the grave. And I was wondering on that flight over to London, I thought, I wonder if God will kind of give me some kind of insight into this question. And I imagined sitting in one of the historic cathedrals in London, I thought perhaps God will speak to me there. Or I imagined walking down a beautiful English country lane, I thought perhaps God will speak to me there. I even wondered, perhaps over a conversation, over a warm pint of beer in a pub, perhaps God will speak to me there. Because as we all know, English pubs are the font of all wisdom in England. But in the end, God did speak to me, but in the most unexpected of places. One of the museums I visited when I was in London was my favorite museum going back to my childhood as a boy, the Imperial War Museum, a museum dedicated to Britain's involvement in wars in the 20th century and the 21st century. And how odd it is that of all the places that God should have spoken to me in this place dedicated to warfare. And see, I have to say that you may know that many clergy have very nerdy hobbies, like collecting snail shells or model railways. You may know that Thomas the Tank Engine, those stories were written by an English clergyman, the Reverend Audrey. And for some reason, God has given me the gift of having almost an encyclopedic interest in tanks and military aircraft. I can name all kinds of aircraft, all kinds of tanks, what kinds of guns they have. It is a useless attribute at the best of time, but for a clergyman, it's particularly useless. But sitting there in the Imperial War Museum, reflecting on two of the exhibits in particular I saw, I felt God was giving me the answer to this question. The first of the exhibits was the phenomenal new World War I exhibit they have there. And you walk through mock-up trenches, see huge World War I tanks, their big cannons, and all sorts of bits and pieces. And as I was going through that exhibit, it reminded me of a sermon that I had once read, preached by a clergyman, Eric James. He's now dead, but he was a much-loved Church of England cleric, who many clergy of my generation really looked up to and admired as the kind of clergyman we wanted to be. And he wrote a sermon which he entitled The Easter Enigma. And the sermon was designed to take a gentle and fun poke at atheist fundamentalists who reject the resurrection, saying that there's no evidence for it. And the story centers on the death of an English war poet called Wilfred Owen from the First World War. Are any of you familiar with him? In England, as school children, we all learn about his poems. And he was an officer in the British Army in the First World War. And he was killed 1 week before the end of the First World War. His parents didn't receive notice of his death until the day the war ended, as the church bells were ringing across England to celebrate the victory. The telegram arrived at his house telling his parents that he had died. But the story that Eric James told focuses in on Wilfred Owen's brother, Harold. Now, Harold was an officer in the Royal Navy, and at the time of his brother Wilfred's death, he was serving on a Royal Navy cruiser off the coast of East Africa. This was well before the days of instant communication, and that cruiser was completely out of touch with England and with any of the events that were going on that day on the Western Front in Europe. And Harold recounted how he went down to his cabin on that cruiser, and when he entered the door of his cabin, there in his chair, he saw his brother Wilfred dressed in his British Army officer's uniform. He was staggered. What was his brother doing here? And he asked him, "Wilfred, what are you doing here?" Wilfred gave him no visible response, but on his face came an almost beatific smile, he recounted. And from him, from his smile and eyes, there radiated a sense of warmth and love. And Harold knew instantly that both that his brother was dead, but also that his brother was safe with God. The next moment, he said he was momentarily distracted, and when he looked back, Wilfred was no longer there. But he knew that both his brother was dead and he was safe in God's hands. So I don't know what you make of that story, and perhaps it's something you wish to talk about over Easter Sunday brunch. But I know that as I remembered that story, I felt it was God reminding me that the answer to this question, is the resurrection about life after death or life before death? God was hinting and pointing to me that the resurrection story is about life after death. But then I went to another exhibition, and I felt I got another answer to the question. I went through the World War II exhibition and followed it through until it came to the end of the war years. And there were exhibits and conversations about the post-war construction, stories about new houses being built in Britain, stories about the Marshall Plan, stories about democracy and freedom rising out of the ashes of the totalitarian states in Japan and in Germany. And I felt God telling me a different thing, that the resurrection and new life and the promise that God offers up to us today is not just about life after death. It's also the story and the good news that God has for us in Christ on this side of the grave. Because the resurrection isn't just about the general resurrection of all people like Wilfred Owen and you and me. It's about the resurrection of a particular figure, God's resurrection of Christ his Son. And as the theologians tell us, in that resurrection of Christ, there is a vindication of all that Jesus taught and showed us in his life. That love overcomes death, that forgiveness overcomes hurt, that even in the most dire of situations, new life is possible. We live in this dangerous and divided world, yet even in our life, and even in our world, new life is possible. And even within our own individual lives, no matter how dark they may seem at times, new hope and new life is possible. It was quite interesting. A few months ago, we had a retreat for our vestry, which is the lay leadership team of our parish. And one of the questions we asked them was, when was there a moment when you felt that God had spoken to you and felt new life? And you know, this is a pretty successful bunch of people. And they didn't say, it was when I got a new promotion, or it was when I got my annual bonus, or you know, when we got a big new house. It was when my parent died, when I faced illness in my own life, when I lost my job, It was at these moments of seeming darkness that people experienced God closer to them at any point in their lives. And out of these experiences came new life. At the end of the Gospels, Jesus tells his disciples to go out into every corner of the world and to proclaim the good news of new life, both on this side of the grave and on the other side of the grave. And who does he send today to proclaim this message? He sends us. And when did he send us? He sends us now. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia.